You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Wounded for Our Transgressions. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
He hangs almost naked, and certainly he hangs stripped of every earthly support and hope. This man on the cross is Jesus, and the way he meets you on Good Friday is the way Jesus says that you must present yourself to him. Stripped of every earthly support and hope, your heart and hands empty, this is the way you must stand before him. Must? We don't like anyone to tell us what to do, but that's precisely what he does. Those who want to come with me, he says in Luke 9, must say no to the things they want. Pick up their crosses every day and follow me. Those who want to save their lives will lose them. But those who lose their lives for me will save them. Yes, must. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. The second question, not the first. The second question asked on the pages of the Bible is this: where are you? Adam and Eve had sinned. Almost naked, unable to help themselves save for some paltry fig leaves, they were so ashamed of what they'd done that they hid themselves from God. Where are you? He asked. The way they had lived was definitely not what their Creator had intended. But notice this, because this will become significant as we get deeper into the message. Although God had reason to wipe them off the face of his earth, he did not. Instead, he found them in their nakedness and shame, and he let them live. The second question of the Bible, I repeat, is, where are you? Drunk on the curb? High on drugs? Homeless? Stripped of every earthly comfort and support? Marie Smith was born in 1900 to a 13-year-old mother. Yes, 13 years old. They lived on the streets of New York. Marie spent 42 years addicted to alcohol and drugs. A wreck of a man, despised by so many who passed by. Maurice was not what God intended mankind to be, but as in the Garden of Eden, God did not strike Maurice down. God met Maurice in the shame of his life. I don't know how that encounter took place, but it did. Maurice met Jesus. That was a meeting of two men stripped of everything this world has to offer. Two men despised and rejected. In that sad figure on the cross, Maurice met the man who would bury his past, the man who was about to change his life. Who would have ever thought? Where are you? Do I offend you if I compare you to Maurice? You know how you shudder at the thought of someone knowing everything, absolutely everything about you? Someone does. God sees you hiding behind your modern fig leaves. He sees through your outward show of respectability. He sees through your business suit or dress. He penetrates the security system in the privacy of your home. Behind closed doors is an irrelevant phrase to God. Every heart is open to him. Every thought is known. So why not be honest and stand before him, your soul stripped of every earthly comfort, your reliance upon your own resources gone? Why don't you identify with Adam and Eve hiding in their shame? Why shouldn't you identify with Maurice? The world judges people by their outward appearances, but God doesn't. those who want to save their lives will lose them. A reading from St. Matthew chapter 27. After the soldiers finished making fun of Jesus, they took off the cape and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. At that time they crucified two criminals with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those who passed by insulted him. They shook their heads and said, "You were going to tear down God's temple and build it again in 3 days? Save yourself! If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." The chief priests, together with the scribes and the leaders, made fun of him in the same way. They said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. So he's Israel's king? Let him come down from the cross now, and we'll believe him. He trusted God. Let God rescue him now if he wants. After all, this man said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the criminals crucified with him were insulting him the same way. What is it about this man stripped of every dignity, this man who doesn't seem to be going anywhere? What is it that authorizes him to demand your attention? I'll tell you. God had promised that sinners must die. Ezekiel 18 verse 3, "The person who sins will die." That's what God said. But what did he do? He didn't strike down Maurice. He didn't strike down Adam and Eve. And let's talk about your past. What about the sins that people have inflicted upon you? Have you been a victim of crime? Have you been cheated on by your spouse? Has your reputation been ruined by the sinful gossip of others? You know that God didn't strike those sinners down. You may well have wished that he would have, but he did not. And good for you that he didn't. After all, if he would strike down others for their sins, why shouldn't he strike you down? Where are you? You and I have not kept all his commandments. Whether your sins are known to all the world or known only to you makes no ultimate difference. God sees you where you are. No fig leaves can hide you. If you ever wished that God would strike down other sinners, then realize that the same bolt of divine anger should also fall on you. It's good for you that God doesn't punish sin immediately. Numbers 14 verse 18, "The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished." No. God did not renege on his promise to punish sin. In his compassion for us all, God just took his time. All the anger that he stored up against the sin of the world was unleashed against this man suffering on the cross. He received what we all have deserved. He received it because God is love, not wanting you to pay the humanly unpayable price for your sins. John 15 verse 30, "The greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends." Jesus Christ is not a commanding person by the world's standards. That's why the world passes him by. Jesus Christ, however, has the right to command your attention because he laid down his life for you, wounded for your transgressions. He's the only way you can deal with the hurts and sins of your past, and he's the only way you can be sure of God's approval for your life. That's what Good Friday is all about. St. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, "There is no difference between people." Let me comment. By human standards, there is a difference between you and Maurice, but not with God. Returning to St. Paul, "There is no difference between people." Because all people have sinned, they have fallen short of God's glory. They receive God's approval freely by an act of his kindness through the price Christ Jesus paid to set us free from sin. God showed that Christ is the throne of mercy where God's approval is given through faith in Christ's blood. In his patience, God waited to deal with sins committed in the past. He waited so that he could display his approval at the present time. This shows that he is a God of justice, a God who approves of people who believe in Jesus. Back to that second question of the Bible, where are you? Are you passing by the cross? Passing by seems necessary. You have your places to go and things to do. Money doesn't grow on trees, and so you put in those long, long hours at work. The kids grow up so fast that you have to give them as much time now as you can. Taxes are almost due. It is a busy time. It always seems to be a busy time. Oh, it's no problem to look. Crucifixions were public events in ancient Palestine, and in our era, it's customary for many to stop by church on Good Friday. Yes, take it in, but then keep going. Yes, keep going. Fig leaves in place, pursuing what you think must be done. After all, you have pressing things to do. But if something from your past is spoiling your present, then you must stop. He who hangs almost naked and stripped of every earthly support and hope hangs there for you and for your future. Through the forgiveness he won at the cross, he can help you put the sins and hurts of the past behind you. Yes, stop. Stop and be forever changed. Stop and pray. I stand at your cross, Lord Jesus, and I gaze on your image. I reflect. What happened to you at the cross is what I have done to you. I stand at your cross, Lord Jesus, and I gaze on your image, and I know that what happened at the cross is what you have done for me. In the years following his encounter with Christ on the cross, Maurice made it a habit to write daily prayers. God, he wrote in one prayer, I want to come home to you. Help me to let go and grieve over my attachments so that I can be more effective and productive for you. Last year, Maurice Smith died. Maurice is one of the great cloud of witnesses who show us how to meet Jesus. Help me to let go and grieve over my attachments, he prayed at the cross. Remember, that's how Jesus would have it. Those who want to come after me must say no to the things they want, pick up their crosses every day, and follow me. Those who want to save their lives will lose them, but those who lose their lives for me will save them. You've heard the second question from the opening pages of the Bible. What's the first question? The devil tempted Eve and asked, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Did God really say? The Bible teaches that God sent his Son Jesus to deal decisively with your sins and give you hope for the future. That's God's word to you. Where are you? Don't doubt what God has really said. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord's power been revealed? He grew up in his presence like a young tree, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that would make us look at him. He had nothing in his appearance that would make us desire him. He was despised and rejected by people. He was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. He was despised, like one from whom people turn their faces, and we didn't consider him to be worth anything. He certainly has taken upon himself our suffering and carried our sorrows, but we thought that God had wounded him, beat him, and punished him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. He was punished so that we could have peace. We have all strayed like sheep. Each one of us has turned to go his own way, and the Lord has laid all our sins on him. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.